Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Let's take a moment to pray. For one, to give thanks for their service here today, but also to call on the name of the Lord as we gather in this place as the people of God to lift up the name of Jesus and know that as we do that today, He hears us and He loves us. And that matters as much as anything in the season we're in. Father, here we are in this place. We are here by our faith in Jesus, and even at maybe at home today or in a coffee shop somewhere celebrating with us, we acknowledge that You are the Savior of the world, that You have brought life and peace and hope and victory by Your grace. And we have folks in our church family who are sick, who are struggling, having a rough season. And so I'm asking that by Your grace, You would minister healing and strength and hope for them. Help them and each of us to know that You love us dearly, that You're still working out Your glorious plan to draw humanity to Yourself, and that we get to partner with You. I want to thank You for that privilege. And would You please give us the strength through Your Spirit to be able to walk the walk day by day, surrendered, encouraged, trusting, full of hope that what lies ahead truly is incomparable to where we stand today. Father, may You give us boldness for the journey that is ahead and strength for the days, healing and hope in the name of Jesus. Body of Christ said together, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to go ahead and ask our ushers if they would prepare to receive our offering as a part of our worship this morning. And in the midst of that, as they're getting ready, I want to dismiss our kids for kids' church this morning. You guys are dismissed. Teachers are waiting on you. And may the Lord bless you. Have a good time today. So ushers would come forward. We ask that the Lord would bless what is brought in today, that He would multiply it in ways we don't understand, and He would touch lives beyond what we know in this moment for the extension of His kingdom, the glory of Jesus. Amen. You've heard me say, and if you've been with us online, you've heard me say over the last few weeks a particular phrase, and I thought, well, as we're receiving our offering today, it is probably as good a time as any to say it again. But I like to say that, you know, what we do right now with what we know to be true and what we have really says a lot about what we believe about God. We believe about what He's given to us. And we believe about why we have it and what it's for. That everything that we have is to be used for the glory of God, to extend the kingdom of God throughout the earth, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up as people are drawn unto Him. Because really, it's all about Jesus, right? Jesus is really the subject of all that we're really chasing towards. We want to see people come to know Jesus. It's one of the things I appreciate about Student Christian Fellowship, who as a church, one of the mission groups that we've partnered with here, and actually Kyle and his partner with Student Christian Fellowship is Keller Stem. They're going to be with us later this spring. I'm going to have them come and time to share with us, help us develop that connection a little bit stronger here. And so again, thank you guys for being here today. You sounded great, and it was such a blessing. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Yeah. How many of you like to check out social media? Just maybe a show of hands. Some do, some don't. Have you ever seen something go viral? Have you ever watched a video that's going viral? Right? This is crazy. And you look at how many people have seen this video, and it's over the top crazy. We're talking like millions of people. I don't even know millions of people. I don't know if I even know 200 people. And yet millions of people watching something that's going viral. It's absolutely tremendous. And I know for me, I don't know, maybe this is true for you. Maybe when you've heard somebody say, hey, man, did you see that video? What that guy did or that girl did? It's amazing. You've got to see. You're like, no way. That is not possible. That happened. It's like, I've got to check it out for myself. I need to see it to help me believe that that really legitimately happened. What was it back in the 90s? Was it the 90s, early 2000s? We would say legit and see if it was really legit. I knew somebody was going to go there on that one. But yeah, talking about going viral, let me take us into the story of Palm Sunday. And if you have a Bible with you on your phone, or maybe if you brought the book with you with pages and a cover to it, then it's so different because we just don't read books so much, right? It's like it's on our phone, it's on a tablet, or, you know. So I want to read John's Gospel, chapter 12. And this, of course, is the Palm Sunday story. And I want to begin just a smidge before what we often will start at, which is typically verse 12. But I want to go to verse 9 and let that be our starting point. So I want to read 9 through 19. The Word of God according to John. The next day, meanwhile, see, I even fooled myself on that one. Verse 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Well, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." I'm not sure they said it with quite that tone, but sounds good nonetheless. I read this passage and I just can't help but think Jesus in this moment is going viral. Jesus, you might say, his identity was going viral, largely because he had raised Lazarus from the dead, which is why I wanted to start at verse 9 this morning. To me, I think it's amazing how the right thing done at the right time in the right way can really capture the minds and the hearts of people. Think about that. How the right thing done in the right way at the right time can capture the hearts and the minds of many people. Jesus had brought the dead to life. That's crazy. Who can do that? Honestly, I mean, really, like, I know doctors do a lot of great things, but to take somebody who's been dead for a little bit of time here, okay, stand outside his tomb, not go into the tomb, doesn't anoint him, doesn't do anything but other than to really just stand outside the tomb, to look at it, call on Lazarus, say, "Get up, wake up." By his word can speak the light of life into the darkness of death. I I love the story that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But do you ever stop and think for a moment that there's going to come another day when what's going to happen to Lazarus? He's going to die. I mean, this is a great story, but at some point, he's going to stop breathing again. And he's going to die. And it's only Jesus, who is the Son of God in the flesh, that could have the authority to speak life into him then, and at the same time, to be able to give eternal life to Lazarus, to receive his covenant promise, faith in the Messiah, in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, that only Jesus had and has the authority to raise the dead. And I look at that in this story, and I think of the end as we think of the hope of the gospel. And I'm going, you know, I think that's a pretty compelling reason, just one reason right there why every single person should come to know, to meet Jesus. Because he's the only one that brings the dead to life. But he's more than a man who raises the dead. I mean, that's pretty cool. I'll give him that. That's pretty cool. But I love in this story that it's even more than that. Because in this story, Jesus is painting a picture that tells that he brings God's peace to earth. Jesus is riding in on a donkey amid a crowd who was flocking to see him, so they could see this Messiah who raised Lazarus from the dead, as I said, and he's riding into town, and he's legitimately embracing his role as the king of God's people. And so when the people are, you know, they're yelling, Hosanna, right? I mean, it's the third time you've heard that particular, you know, word and passage said today. I'm like, they are legitimately 100% saying the right thing in that moment. He's exactly who they are declaring him to be. Their king was in their midst. And the excitement was going viral because they've been hoping for so long that Messiah would come to give them political victory and freedom from the foreign nations around them. And they were so frustrated with having to indulge in beliefs and religious practices from the Romans and others over the years that they had disagreed with. But surprisingly, Jesus, what does he do? He rides into town on a symbol of peace. The fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which we saw in John's text this morning. Really? I mean, it makes more sense for the people that he would ride in on a horse with this display of strength and power of military might. Because if you want to get the enemies out from around you and in your midst, what makes more sense? Well, it absolutely makes more sense that you would fight and you would war and that you would drive out with a sign of force. Absolutely. But Jesus said, nah, I do things a little differently. I play the game differently. And so he rides in on an animal that was used in processions of peace. And we are meant by John to not overlook that in the story, which is why he quotes Zechariah 9:9. That we would see that Jesus' entry and the people coming to meet him, and don't overmiss the fact that he's coming to be with them as well, right? As he comes into town, he's bringing a message that says his reign and his Father's kingdom brings peace with God. You ever notice how people work so hard to earn God's peace? Have you ever noticed that? Has that maybe been your story some? How people just work so hard. Like, I want God to be so happy with me, and they work so hard, hoping that if I do enough of the right things, that God's going to, I'll have peace with God, that God will be happy with me, I'll earn his favor. And then they'll try to do good things for others, you know? It's like, man, if I do this, man, God's really going to be happy. I'm going to have peace with God. Try to be nice to people. Folks, you ever notice that folks try to adapt to just a morally good lifestyle? You know, if just do the right thing all the time. Like, WWJD, man. Like, what would Jesus do? But really, perhaps not much more than on the outside, what would Jesus do? And not making the connection into the heart, who is Jesus to me? And therefore, what will I do because of Jesus in me? Now, I'm not knocking any of those things, because I think all those things really do make, on the outside, they make our community better. The good things, they do help. But only Jesus brings God's peace to our lives. And Jesus was bringing God's peace to stay, but not via sitting on a throne, which is what they were looking to, but by hanging on a cross. His victory would not come at the deaths of foreigners, but through his own death for the world. He wasn't going to come to separate Israel from the rest of the world so that there would be peace. In fact, he was inviting the world into God's kingdom where they can know God's peace together through faith, through following Christ. And it comes to us. Even today, it still comes to us through God's justifying grace. It forgives our sins, justifies us to stand cleansed before God, receiving the righteousness of Christ. It's all because of Jesus. That day is about Jesus. Today, it's about Jesus. Jesus brought and brings God's peace. For me, I just really feel like that's a very compelling reason to why every single person should come to meet and to know Jesus. God's peace changes your world. You know when something's going viral? You can try to stop it, but you ever notice you really can't stop it? That's kind of why it goes viral, right? It finds a way. This isn't even my notes. This just kind of popped into my head. It's like trying to keep the cold draft out of your house in the winter, but what does it keep doing? It just keeps finding a way to come in. It just keeps coming again and again. And that's part of Palm Sunday. And I think the Lord wants us to see this part of the story as well as the other two. To see that Jesus will never be defeated. Think about it. Jesus will never be defeated. You know, when you look at that Palm Sunday, we heard some of the religious elite, the priests were trying to, you know, kill Lazarus. We read that. We also saw how, the Pharisees said, you know, this is ridiculous. No, we're not getting anywhere with this. We can't seem to stop him. It just keeps finding a way to keep getting out there. And no matter what we do, or what we connive, what we work behind the scenes, it just keeps happening. Well, yeah. They tried to put a death threat, entrapment. Wouldn't work. Because everything that was happening was the very thing that God said, this is my plan. This is what I have planned. This is what's supposed to come to pass. Jesus Christ is my son, and he has come, and he will ascend the throne, and he will be crucified, and he will be buried. And 3 days, what's he going to do? He's going to rise again. I just want to say happy Easter, but I guess I have to save that for next Sunday. Anyways. But it's coming because God has said, this is my plan. And what I have planned, humanity and no other force can thwart, can derail it, because I've set it into motion. But I've done it for you. People groups, politics, man, personal preferences have tried to persecute and shut down the church intentionally. Some of it unintentionally, not even realizing what they're doing or saying. But here's what I love. The Church of Jesus Christ, it takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking. It just keeps going. Nothing was going to stop Jesus. He would be the victor over sin and death. He would free humanity from being bound to a spiritual enemy who does not want our best interest, but only to oppose God. Jesus can never be defeated. If you're sitting at home and you're worshiping with us today, I want to encourage you, would you please hold on to that? No matter what you're going through today, no matter how hard it is, no matter how hard it's punching you in the gut, no matter how hard you feel like there just isn't a way forward, that Jesus cannot somehow be glorified or beat this, I want to tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ says that he cannot be defeated. He's a winner. He's a victor. And you may not win today, but one day you are going to win if you hold on and be faithful to Jesus. That's the promise, because that's the plan of God. And he alone has the power to make it work, because he can bring the dead to life. He can bring peace into your life in the midst of your circumstance. And he's never defeated. If you want to worship a God, I say worship a winner. And the only one that's worth worshiping that's a winner is Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled by anything else in the world that tries to get you to dig into that and follow that and chase those dreams. You want to chase a dream? Chase the dream of what God has in store for you as you are faithful to the end, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Chase after that, because it's been set for you. It's there. Don't get derailed. Don't doubt. You get weary, keep on. Keep on keeping on. Just don't stop. Let that train keep it running. Just let it keep it running, right? Because it's getting there. Just stay on board. When Jesus told Peter, says, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to build my church on the kind of faith that I'm addressing in you right now. And I promise you that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But you be courageous and you stand firm through the end. And you will receive the Father's reward for you. Don't quit. Don't stop. I'm praying for you. I love how Revelation 11:15, it affirms the same thing. It says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will rule forever and always. Praise the Lord and pass the chicken. Come on. That's good news. The promise is set. It ain't changing. It's not changing. So don't worry. I don't know how COVID's going to turn out for me or for my family. Yes, I get that. But hold on to Jesus. I don't know how my retirement is going to play out. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough. Hold on to Jesus. Just keep coming to Jesus. Just keep stepping into that relationship with Jesus. Just let him keep filling you with peace and peace day by day by day. Just keep remembering what lies ahead. I don't know how I'm going to be able to pass these finals. Man, this is going to be the craziest thing I've ever done. It's so hard. I'm so nervous. Study hard. Trust in Jesus. And keep ahead. Keep moving ahead. I love that promise. I just want to say one more time. If Jesus can never be defeated, that sure sounds to me like a pretty good reason to come and meet Jesus. Palm Sunday makes a pretty compelling case to why you should come and meet Jesus, for he has come to you. And he welcomes you, and he gives you his peace, and he has a promise that he'll never be defeated. Why choose any other life? Let's hold on to that. Let that be in our stories, right? Let that be in our stories as we talk about the things that Jesus has done, because they are great stories. All right. I'm going to wrap all this up into Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. And then I'm going to preach for about 20 minutes on that. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. That would be ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. You guys are too gullible. Come on. You know me better than that, I think. So, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, Paul writes these words. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Have you come to meet Jesus yet? You may have come to church, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if you've come to meet Jesus yet. You see, when you come to meet Jesus, church takes on a whole nother depth. Because Jesus is the way into the church, into the body of Christ, into the family of God. Have you come to meet this Jesus that we've talked about today? Have you considered what he's already done? Giving life where there is death. Have you considered the peace that he makes possible for us to experience as we welcome him to be our Prince of Peace? Have you considered the eternal life he's holding for you as an eternal blessing for believing in him as Savior and Lord? All that's needed is not your perfection, but to simply come as you are. Just come to him. Come and meet Jesus. If you've never said, you know, say, I've done that, could I encourage you, would you make today the day that you do just that? Simply recognizing, turning your heart towards God in faith, recognizing Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. This wonderful cross we have here in our sanctuary is a symbol of the loving God who has said, I have come to you, that through me you may come to the Father. I want to pray for us today. And if you decide, hey, today, I want to get serious about that. Like, I really do. And I want to learn more about that. Hey, reach out to us here at New Hope. Reach out to us, email, phone, through our website, connect card on our website, and let us know so that we can follow up with you. We want to do that. We are so serious about Jesus. We believe he changes the world and our lives. Father, in this moment, I ask that you would hear our hearts, which I know you do. And for all of us who maybe are struggling with feeling worthy of coming and being close to you, would you counsel us by your Spirit? Would you take care of that unhealthy thinking in us? Would you renew our thinking so that we know that you have come so that we can be with you? Father, for those who are in their hearts speaking today, I want to make that choice. Save them, Lord. Draw them close to you. Encourage them. Give them hope that is beyond this world because it's in you, our eternal God. Father, I give you praise and glory that you welcome all who call on your name, that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for that wonderful promise. For in it, we know you can never be defeated. And we are victors in Christ for eternal life. Father, grow your church here at New Hope and beyond as we continue to proclaim this message and disciple others to learn and live to follow Jesus with all their hearts, minds, soul, and strength. Lord, we love you and thank you for this day. Continue to minister to us as we sing, "Come as You Are." Amen.